Jay Tetzlaff got a lesson in public relations crisis management he did not predict when he showed up for work at Miller Park Zoo one Monday last month. Bloomington Zoo director and head of its Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts departments became entrenched in a story that grabbed international headlines after a young patron struck a flamingo with a rock. The zoo had to euthanize the bird. Tetzlaff tells GLT's Eric Stock media inundated his office with requests about a matter he wanted kept private.
It's not what I want us to be known for the Miller Park Zoo from the national perspective. I had probably around 60 news outlets from all over the country and all over the world reach out to me. We only sent two-sentence responses to pretty much everybody. We were kind of hoping to keep this on the down low since it's no one won. This is a no-win situation. We lost our bird, and the amount of hate mail that I got over this was, I think, ridiculous, and it was disappointing.
Where was the hate mail coming from?
We said it was an accident. I don't think anybody's going to know if it was an accident or not. This was a young kid. He's the only one who knows if it was an accident or not. So we did our best to work with the family I really did want this to go away. I've been honest for the last couple weeks about that. Again, not wanting us to be known for I want us to be known for a great alligator exhibit we just built, or the palace cat kittens we just had born, something like that, not of an incident where we lost a bird.
Well, of course, there are some who say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Maybe that's what brings people in to find out about all the things that you do offer here.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great May in terms of attendance, broke the all-time gate revenue record for the month of May of any month we've ever had. And the zoo's been around since 1891, so it's not just a short-term record. But, I know alligators had a lot to do with that. Maybe flamingos had something to do with that, too.
So the hate mail that you were getting, was there an expectation that they were going to haul the kid away, that there were going to be charges? What was that stemming from?
It was for everything. It was the anti-zoo, which we get periodically, and I understand that. I wish zoos didn't have to be around either. I wish we could have animals in habitats in the wild, and everyone's doing great. We don't have any endangered species, but that's not the world we live in. It was everything from shouldn't have a zoo to it's your job to take care of the animals. The kids should be dealt with. This was no accident. And probably everything in between that.
And you had initially kept this quiet, as you said, nothing online, nothing on social media. As you said, a two-sentence response to those who had inquired about it. How did word get out that this had happened?
I think it was a posting on Facebook that kind of started it. And so this happened.
And it wasn't a Miller Park Zoo posting.
It was not a posting from the zoo or zoo staff. This happened in the public's view. So, I had somebody that I know went up to and told somebody, hey, I was there that day. I saw it happen. So, we had 600 or 700 people at the zoo that day. So a lot of people saw it, and the word got around.
I don't imagine there's really a blueprint for how to handle this kind of thing, at least from a public response. What sort of guided your decision-making process on how to manage this from a public relations standpoint?
You're right. I've been in the business 32 years now and have never had to deal with anything like this. I think at the end of day one, maybe it was beginning of day two, I called two friends of mine who are zoo directors and been zoo directors for 30-some years and said, hey, here's what happened. What would you guys do? And I got the same response that I had. Boy, that's a good one. It isn't something that comes up in a lot of our discussions. My viewpoint was to be private, to handle the family privately. It was no one's responsibility or no one's responsibility is not the right word. I didn't feel it was worthy to, post publicly who it was, where they're from, anything. We've talked with the family. I'm okay with how we handled it with the family. I just think we were trying to, in some cases, protect the family. The bird was gone. I can't go back. If I could, I'd re-hit the reset for that Monday morning and say, this doesn't happen. We lost the bird. I know the family feels horrible. And it's just one of those things that it's an unfortunate incident, and I hope we handled, you know, maybe 2 years from now we'll go back to it and go, did we handle it right? That's the best I can do at this point.
Had you considered putting out a brief message, perhaps on social media, something along those lines, while, of course, respecting the family's privacy to sort of try to get out ahead of it, possibly, that may have stemmed some of that pushback?
We did. We talked about a couple things, but I think the bigger, I mean, it was already out there, and the nastiness that comes out of social media sometimes was out there, and I guess I wasn't trying to do anything that could possibly be considered fuel on the fire. And again, we just kind of laid low and let it go and let it burn itself out.
And of course, part of the attraction of zoos like Miller Park Zoo is the intimacy that you get with the animals that you don't necessarily get in some of the larger ones. Do you simply chalk this up to stuff happens? You can't supervise every patron every moment they're here?
I think so. You know, Eric, we talked about what, you know, we've talked about the staff. Well, how do we prevent this? You know, it was a rock that was picked up out of landscaping, you know, not next to the exhibit. And the group was chaperoned. It wasn't a lack of supervision. It happened quickly, and that's all it takes. I don't want to lose the intimacy that we have. You know, I think that's one of the best things about our zoo. And we're at a zoo where those things don't happen until they do. And that's something we've had to kind of deal with since then.
Any changes as a result?
You know, we've been talking internally. Like I said, you know, we talked about having minimums with the amount of with these amount of kids, you got to have these amount of chaperones. That's really never been a problem for us, and it wasn't a problem in this incident. So even if we had mandated the things we've started to talk about, it still may not have stopped it. We're going to put some minimums in place of you have to be X amount of age to be able to come in on your own. You know, we figured if you're paying an adult. If you're paying a child admission fee, then you can't come in by yourself. I mean, it's as simple as that. If we're saying a 12-year-old is an adult because that's how we charge them, then 12-year-olds can be responsible for themselves. But below that, you have to come in with an adult.
Well, that's Bloomington Parks Recreation and Cultural Arts Director Jay Tetzloff with GLT's Eric Stock.